This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
David Slutsky is the chairman of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, and he joins us live in studio. How are you, David?
I'm fabulous. How about yourself, Coy?
Very good. I haven't seen you in a while. How was your how's your New Year been thus far? Congratulations on the chairmanship.
Thank you. It's been hectic but fun the last month or so.
This is a real busy time for y'all, isn't it? I mean, the budget, and we're going to talk about all of this today, but there's a lot that happens early in the year.
There is, and there's also the General Assembly session where there's a number of bills that are of interest to local folks, so...
Indeed. Well, without wasting anybody's time, there has been some speculation in our community for the last few weeks, if not months, that you may be announcing your intentions to run against Rob Bell for his House of Delegates seat. And it's sort of that speculation grew into some gossip and some rumors, and everybody's talking about it. And so let's answer that question once and for all. What are your intentions?
Well, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to announce it on the air. What's stunning to me is that it's even of interest to people. But the reality is I did think about it and have definitively decided that I'm not going to run for Rob Bell's seat in the General Assembly at this time.
So you will not be running this year?
Absolutely not. I am really amazed that there have been articles about it, and there has been some conversation about it in the community. And I think that derives a little bit from interest in the upcoming General Assembly election, because the gentleman that you just had on was talking about how important this election is. It's going to decide who sits in the General Assembly when they redistrict for the next 10 years. And so it's obviously an important election. But I'll be honest with you, for my situation, it's just not an appropriate thing to do. I don't have anything personal against Rob Bell. I think he's actually a nice guy, and he works very hard. I might be ideologically in a different place than he is, but you know, he's a good guy. But the reality is my role on the Board of Supervisors has gotten interesting. I've got a lot of things that we're dealing with that are very important to the community, and I'm in the middle of a number of them and very interested in and engaged in some of these topics. And to take on a major campaign at a time like this, and one would have to work very hard to unseat an incumbent, it would be very distracting. And I've had a number of constituents who've expressed to me their preference that I stay in my role on the board. They feel that I'm a voice for them and that they don't want to see that go away. And to be honest with you, I'm flattered when I've been offered those comments. But I think for me, too, I want to fulfill some of the things that I took on when I ran 4 years ago. And so it makes sense for me to stay put. And that's what I'm going to do.
We're talking with David Slutsky. He's chairman of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. You mentioned these important things that you're working on that are really front burner for you. Let's explore some of those. But before we do, you and I were talking during the break about how people are busy these days. And to be honest, most voters really aren't plugged in on all the details of what y'all do, of what the Board of Supervisor does. And that's just the way it is in America, in a democracy, especially these days. People are so busy. You know, we got to get Janie to soccer practice, got to get home, got to pick up the pizza on the way home. We're doing this, got to put the kids in the tub, get them to bed, read a little bit. It's just crazy. And so for many people, exactly what's on the agenda of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors sometimes doesn't even make the list of the billion things that they have to worry about in a day.
I think you're right on, Coy. I think that it's not that the folks don't care. It's that they're busy focusing on their lives. And I think, unfortunately, in the political arena, that gives rise to a problem, which is sometimes we take on challenging issues and not always does the public engage at the level that we assume that they're engaged. And sometimes there are voices in the community that weigh in very sternly on an issue, and they're really not representative of the majority of voters. They're not representative of the majority of citizens. And yet electeds have to be wise and choose, you know, what voices to listen to. I try to interact with as many of my constituents as I can. I try to participate in as many community activities as I can and get a feel, if you will, for what voters seem to want on different issues. And then I try to express what I learn from those conversations through what I do on the board. But you never really know whether what you're doing you know, has the interest, much less the support of your constituents. And that's just a challenge of being elected.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in local government, where it can be some of the hardest. That's some of the hardest government to do. It's, you know, when it's government in your backyard and your constituents are stopping you in the grocery store, it can be really challenging.
It is. But actually, I think folks are more engaged in local government, believe it or not, than in national politics or state politics. Sure, people know there's a big stimulus package being discussed in Washington, but there's a lot of other legislation that's going on in D.C. right now that the vast majority of Americans just aren't connected to. Similarly, I think if you ask the typical citizen, you know, name 10 bills in front of this year's General Assembly, and they'd come up empty. But I think an awful lot of people do have some awareness of the issues that the local politicians are working on. I think affordable housing, transportation, climate change, land use protection, these are all issues that are in common currency in the community conversations. So people are engaged to some degree, but they don't always know the particulars of a given politician's position, and that can be tricky.
My guest is David Slutsky. He is chairman of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. So, David, let's talk about some of these issues that are real front burner for you now, that are part of the reason that you've decided that a run for the House of Delegates is not really a good option for you this year. What is really on your desk when you sit down to work as the chairman of the Board of Supervisors that's a real front burner for you that you're focused on?
Well, certainly right now, front and center is the issue of transportation. We have serious transportation challenges in Albemarle County and Charlottesville right now, and historically, the General Assembly has been responsible for taking care of transportation funding, and the local government's been responsible for taking care of schools in general terms, and we're doing our best on our part of the bargain. And I think for quite a while, Virginia General Assembly has been failing on its part of the bargain. So those of us who want to find solutions and can't wait for Richmond to sort it out have developed a couple of proposals that resulted in bills. And these are bills that have been introduced into the General Assembly this session by David Toscano. And he's been very helpful to the community in helping us try and solve these transportation challenges. And the two bills are, number one, a bill that will give the city and the county the enabling legislation, because remember, we have to ask Richmond for permission to do pretty much anything in local government. And we don't have the ability to do this right now unless they give it to us. But we've asked for enabling legislation to allow us to form a regional transit authority. And, you know, best estimates are that we're fairly likely to get that through the General Assembly. Nobody seems to have any objections to it. It's just whether or not they want to help us out. And then the other bill, which is considerably more controversial and, frankly, I think more important, is a transportation funding bill. Now, notice the first was a transit authority, but this second bill is transportation funding. And, in fact, if we are able to get this bill passed in Richmond, it will allow us to potentially raise funds not just for transit, but for a litany of other transportation projects, including roads, obviously, some bridges, some pedestrian ways, some bikeways. It's a whole range of transportation solutions that we'd finally be able to fund by funding them at the local level. What this bill does in a nutshell is we're asking Richmond not to raise taxes to pay for transportation. I mean, we wish they'd solve the problem on a statewide basis. That would be our first choice, but they're not doing that. So we've said, all right, fine. We don't want you to raise our taxes. We're not asking you to give the local governments permission to raise taxes either. What we're asking the General Assembly to do is simply give Charlottesville and Albemarle County permission to ask our voters through a referendum whether or not the voters would like to raise the sales tax by up to a penny to pay for a list of specific transportation problems, a list of transportation projects that are in our long-term plan right now. They've been through public process. They could change over time, but they're basically the major road projects and transportation projects, and some money for this transit idea would all be able to be paid for if we raise the sales tax by a penny. We'd raise somewhere close to $25 million a year if we were able to go forward with it.
To do some of those transportation, we're talking with David Slutsky of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, and that penny increase in the sales tax would address some of these transportation needs that we have that the money is not coming anytime soon from Richmond.
That's right.
Or Washington.
That's right.
And it ain't coming.
Well, exactly. And there may be some money through the stimulus package. Let's all hope so. But, you know, we'll try to, if you will, feed at that trough as much as we can, because there are a lot of projects we need to have done. But our view is we're asking Richmond to give the voters the chance to decide whether or not they would like to raise their sales tax up to a penny to fund a litany of transportation projects. And I'm hopeful that the General Assembly will see the bill as a reasonable solution to our local problem. I know there are a lot of folks in the General Assembly, and I agree with them, that would rather solve this on a statewide level. But the political reality is it ain't happened. It hasn't happened, and there's no indication that it's going to be solved on a statewide basis anytime soon. In the meantime, these projects languish on the shelf.
And the Republicans in the House of Delegates, at least, have shown, they've demonstrated that they would, the way that they've treated Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads, and basically saying, you want to fix your transportation problems, you're going to have to do it yourself. That we're not going to do it here. So they have authorized Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads to have their own local taxes for their own local road projects. They have not done that for the rest of the state. And if I hear you right, you're saying, why can't Charlottesville and Albemarle County decide for ourselves if we want to do the same thing?
More importantly, we want the voters to be able to decide. If this enabling legislation gave the local governments, the city council, the board of supervisors, the right to raise taxes to fund these projects, I'm not sure that I would be in agreement with it. I don't think that that's the best way to go, particularly in a challenging economic time like this. But I trust the voters. And when we did our survey at the end of the summer in Albemarle County, at least, one of the questions we asked the voters was, would you be willing to have your taxes, local taxes, increase to pay for transportation projects? And pretty impressive 56% said yes, not even knowing how much they would have to have their taxes go up, not knowing what projects. So I'm hopeful that if we get this legislation passed and we put it out to the voters, that they'll support moving forward with these projects. But, you know, if they don't, then we shouldn't be doing it. And so I like the way this bill is structured. Each of our legislators have considered the bill, and nobody has said that they are necessarily opposed to it. Even Rob Bell, who's, I think, fairly conservative, he hasn't really taken a position yet. I think he's studying the bill and trying to consider whether or not this is a good solution.
Well, it just authorizes a referendum, right? That's it.
That's exactly it.
It doesn't authorize a tax increase.
That's right.
It authorizes a referendum. It gives you permission to ask your voters, what do you think?
Exactly.
I mean,
if you don't trust the voters, you probably wouldn't want to pass the legislation. But I'm hopeful that the General Assembly will act. I know that, again, some of the members would rather see it solved statewide, but they're not going to solve it statewide, and we're tired of waiting locally.
We're talking with David Slutsky. He's chairman of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. And we have crossover coming up when the different houses finish with their bills and send them over. When do you think we might see a yay or nay on those two bills? And it's important to underscore the fact that these are separate items. I've heard some people talk about it in the past as if they're one thing. They're two separate things. Permission to do a referendum about transportation, and permission for Albemarle County and the board and the
city
and the city of Charlottesville to cooperate with a new authority and to sort of combine their efforts when it comes to transit.
That's exactly right. And again, I'm pretty hopeful that the original transit authority enabling legislation will pass. I'm more skeptical about the funding options piece for transportation, but I'm still hopeful, and we'll see. I'm actually, a number of us are scheduled to go up to Richmond. I guess it's down to Richmond.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, there's a subcommittee hearing that's supposedly going to take place on Wednesday afternoon where they'll discuss this bill. And Dennis Rooker has agreed to go, and Ann Malik's trying to get scheduled, and we're trying to see how many city councilors we can get, and maybe we'll get some other supervisors to go down. It's a process in Richmond. I mean, as it's been said before, you know, they're trying to make sausage. They've got an awful lot of bills to consider, and this is just one of them. But we'll have our opportunity to make our case, and I'm hopeful that the General Assembly will get this one right.
It would seem to me that I may be naive here, and on some things I really, really am, but it would seem to me it would be very difficult to argue no against this, because all you're doing is giving permission for a local government in Virginia to have a referendum and to ask its voters, hey, what do you want to do? And it would also seem to me, why do we even have to ask Richmond permission to have a referendum? You know, that seems to be sort of un-American,
I
guess.
Well, that's the Dillon's rule issue where we have to go ask for permission, but that's how it is in Virginia. And I think when the majority of the members of the General Assembly actually read the bill and think about it, they'll realize that it's merely trusting the voters to determine their own destiny. And that's why I think it has a decent chance of passage. you know, these are good people down in the General Assembly. They're, they're not trying to do evil. They're trying to get it right. And there's a fairly conservative perspective held by a majority in the General Assembly right now. But, you know, they also are trying to do good government.
Yeah. Well, it seemed to me one of the greatest conservative arguments you could make is letting voters decide and letting voters decide for themselves what they want to do. And that's the very definition of a referendum.
It would seem that way to me, Coy.
David Slutsky is chairman of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. And we're talking about some of the items front and center for him that he and his team are working on over in Albemarle County. What's the second thing you're working on there?
Well, there's a number of things we've got going, but one that's really percolated to the top of my attention in the last few weeks is a really fun project. It's dealing with the climate change issues. As you probably know, Coy, both the city and the county have been involved with trying to develop a climate plan, as has the university in the last year. And we're each at various stages in that process, but mostly we're all at the point where we're about done taking an inventory of what greenhouse gas emissions we are responsible for. And we're going to be each developing plans separately. And we now may also collaborate on some common elements that we can work on together in our efforts to reduce our carbon footprint. And what's come up recently in this regard is kind of interesting. There's a group in Cambridge, Massachusetts, the Cambridge Energy Alliance, that's been operating for a couple years, doing some very forward-thinking things with respect to climate change. And there's a grant that is the RFP is about to come out. It was actually due out in the last couple days, but it's not out yet today, so it should be soon. A private grant of $500,000 that's going to go to a single city somewhere in the South. And we think that the university, the city of Charlottesville and Albemarle County have a decent chance of winning this grant award. But the single winner gets $500,000 to fund the development of a regional program much like what the Cambridge Energy Alliance has set up in Cambridge. And I can describe it to you briefly if you'd like, but it's pretty exciting stuff.
Sure,
if you need to take a break or...
We do need to take a break. Can you hang around for a few minutes after the break?
Sounds great.
Let's do that. We'll continue this conversation on the other side, a break for local news, and we'll get a weather update about the impending winter event. Looks like a lot of rain and maybe some ice, a little sleet starting tomorrow night and into Wednesday morning. We'll have a full update for you in just a few minutes and back with David Slutsky on the other side. This is Charlottesville Right Now. Tell me how does your light shine? It's 36 minutes after 5 o'clock in Central Virginia. This is Charlottesville Right Now. It's about 32 degrees outside, mighty cold, and they say it's going to get a little colder and a little wetter and a little sleetier as this week moves forward. Join me tomorrow afternoon. We'll talk with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. John Whitehead will be with us on Wednesday of the Rutherford Institute, and author Michael Davis on Thursday with his new book, The Complete History of Sesame Street. Let's rejoin our conversation with David Slutsky. He's chairman of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, and he just announced in the last half hour that he will not be seeking a seat in the House of Delegates. And you want to just recap that for us again, that it was an option for you for a period of time? But
well, I took the option seriously. I look at the fact that this next General Assembly that gets elected is going to decide the redistricting for the next 10 years. But as I said, I've got an awful lot of things that I'm in the middle of in my work on the board that I wouldn't want to leave. I don't think my constituents would appreciate that. And a number have expressed their preference that I stay in my current role. So I've decided that's what I'm going to do.
Before we went to a break, we were talking about climate change efforts and something they did in Cambridge. Is that right?
Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
There's a group called the Cambridge Energy Alliance, and they've done some really interesting things that we're hoping to replicate here in with the city, the county, and the university working jointly on it. And what they do, it's kind of interesting. What happens is 40% of greenhouse gases come from buildings, and that's buildings that exist today, not buildings that are on the drawing board. And people need to remember that, because you can build new green structures, and that's good. That's worth doing. But that does nothing to address the greenhouse gas attributable to existing structures. So how do you retrofit, for example, existing single-family homes in a way that will make them more energy efficient? And what's happened is there's something called an energy audit that's a process that's developed. And if we move forward this project, we'll make it possible for a homeowner to contact the city or the county, or it might be a third party, and say, I want an energy audit of my house. And so someone would come out who's trained to do this, and they will evaluate, you know, the condition of your windows. Are you leaking heat out of openings in the wall? Is your heating system outdated and less efficient? Do you have enough insulation in your ceiling and in your walls and so forth? And they'll do this analysis of the house, and then they will make a list of recommendations. And they'll say, you know, here's the 7 things you could do to make your home more energy efficient. And they'll analyze each of them and say, it would cost you X dollars to, let's say, put in new insulation in the attic, and you will save this amount of money on your annual heating bill if you do. So a lot of homeowners say, great, thank you for the audit, that's really nice, but I don't have the money, if you will, to go and put in some of those recommendations. So what this program does is it makes it possible in Cambridge, they do it through local lenders, but there are other ways to fund it, where there's a funding source. And the homeowner can then sign up for a loan, get the money, put in place this this new improvement. Maybe it's a new heating system, maybe it's insulation, whatever. And then they get to keep 1/3 of the savings from their utility bills associated with this. And then the other 2/3 of their savings get paid back to the lender to pay for the loan and the accruing interest. And they only do the loans in a case where the payback is a few years and not forever. And so what you tend to get is not all of the energy improvements built in, but you get some of the more expensive ones that are actually going to save energy in place sooner than later. And I think it's a fabulous program, and we're hopeful to be able to do that here.
David Slutsky is chairman of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. Tell us what's the latest in when it comes to development in Central Virginia. That's a big topic on this program. We talk about it with Brian Wheeler every week. What are we looking at, you think, this year from the in Albemarle County in that regard?
Well, in terms of development, not a whole lot. the reality is that it's a tough economic moment for development to move forward. But we have had an interesting dialogue in the community for the last year or so about TDRs. And as you may recall, Coy, I brought out a proposal 2 years ago suggesting a fairly complicated transferable development right proposal. And it had a couple of flaws in it, if you will. One of them is that it was associated with a mandatory downzoning, and that clearly was unpopular, so we're not going to do that. And then the second piece was it had a receiving area for the development rights that would be moved from the rural areas. And the receiving area that was going to take those development rights was part of the rural area right up against the existing growth areas.
So you expand the growth area a little bit to accommodate for these new development rights being moved in from the rural area.
Precisely. I was proposing to get 94% of the county downzoned, if you will, and squeeze those development rights into 1% of the county. But a lot of folks on the left said that they couldn't tolerate the expansion of the growth area. So fair enough. So where do you put the development rights to implement such a program? And we've had a community discourse through the Weldon Cooper Center the last several months. And an interesting development has occurred, which is the city of Charlottesville may be willing to take the rural development rights. If we set in place a voluntary TDR program, then a homeowner could choose to give up their development rights, and they get all sorts of benefits from doing that. But then those development rights might be accepted by the city of Charlottesville to increase density in certain locations in the city where they want to have the increased development take place. And what was interesting is when I've had conversations with city councilors and others in the city about why they might want to do this, I pointed out to them that in the county, we have a lot of ecological systems that are in our area, not in theirs, you know, water systems, habitat, and so forth, that they benefit from. And so they actually have an interest in protecting the ecological systems that provide service value to the city of Charlottesville, but yet which are located in the rural areas of the county. And so my suggestion to them was there's a good reason why they should want to accept these development rights. A, they want the development to occur, but more importantly, it's the way they can do their part to protect those rural area ecological systems. And they've been very receptive to that. There's no firm commitment from anybody, but I think it's a real possibility that in the next year we may have a serious discussion about implementing a TDR program that's voluntary and that relocates a lot of rural area development rights into the city, and everybody wins. And I'm really excited about it.
And we're talking with David Slutsky of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. TDR, of course, is Transfer of Development Rights.
That's exactly right.
And explain the way it works and why it would be appealing to, say, you know, somebody who's got a family farm in Albemarle County that's had it in their land and in their family for generations. They don't want to see it become this huge tract of some big neighborhood, and yet they recognize that they're sitting on a very wealthy, valuable piece of property that is money that the kids want and that they're entitled to. It's their land.
I met with several members of the Farm Bureau at the beginning of this process to try and understand what their views were, and it was interesting. They convinced me that, in fact, their biggest priority is protecting the rural areas of the county. But their next biggest priority is protecting their wealth for their estate. And they said, why should we give up our development rights if they have value to our detriment? What's in it for us? You know, how do you get compensated? Well, the public sector can't compensate. That's unrealistic. The public sector could choose legally to downzone because the public good would be served by doing so. But what seems to be a better plan is if you can strip the development rights off of these rural lands, where rural landowners who want to be good stewards and really don't want to see the land ever developed, but they don't want to give up what value there might be in those rights, if they could strip those development rights off and have them sold to somebody else who could then use them, that is the best of both worlds, if you will.
So I'm sitting on 500 acres, and it's worth, you know, let's say it's worth $50 million to a developer to build a bunch of homes. What I would do is I would sell that for the market value. And that developer can then go build those homes, like in the city of Charlottesville, and not on my land. My land stays pure. I keep cows on it. And yet I got the money as if that neighborhood was built.
I think you're right. But people need to keep in mind that if you sell off your development rights, you're not going to get the $50 million. The $50 million is really mostly for the land itself. If you separate off from the land the right to develop it, there's some value to the development right, and there's some value to the remaining land. And I think a majority of the value is actually in the land itself. But to the extent that through downzoning, we might take something of value away from a property owner, this TDR idea gives them an opportunity, if you will, to be made whole. There's a number of studies that actually suggest that rural area land will go up in value, not down, if all of the development rights are stripped away. That's a complicated analysis that gives rise to that conclusion. I happen to believe, based on my economics training, that there's merit to it. But there's a perception that people have that their development rights, if taken away, have meant that they've lost money. And by being able to sell that development right for whatever it's worth in the market to someone in the city of Charlottesville, for example, they get made whole. And I think an awful lot of people will probably take us up on this voluntary program if we go forward with it.
David Slutsky is chairman of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. We got a couple of minutes left. Tell us about what we might be looking at in the county as regards to affordable housing. That's usually a topic we hear about in the city, and yet the county is working on this very idea as well.
Well, Coy, I appreciate you bringing that up. As you may know, I've been a big active voice on behalf of the 20% of Albemarle County residents that live at or below what we define as poverty. And I think an awful lot of folks don't recognize how significant our poverty issue is in this community.
Is it 20%?
20% in the county.
It's 25% in the city.
Now, and again, there are different definitions of poverty, but yeah. I think that if they used our definition, they'd actually have a higher percentage than 25%. But what happened in the last year was the city, the county, and the university came together, and we convened a task force with a lot of stakeholders. We examined the challenge of how can we go about, through policy, improving the condition of that element of our community, making more affordable housing available. And we just last week had a report that came out that was the findings of this task force. And my hope is that during this year's budget discussions in the city and the county, that there's some progress made on some of the recommendations of this affordable housing task force.
We've been talking with David Slutsky, the new chairman of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. And what let's do is let's get you back in a few weeks if we can, because I know the budget process is really will be heating up here in the next few weeks. Lots of public hearings and debates, and this is all good stuff. But maybe we can get you in, and maybe another member of the board to come in and share some views about this process and what we might be looking at as far as the budget this year.
Coy, I'd welcome the opportunity. This is going to be perhaps the most difficult budget challenge of this generation. These are really hard times, and that means we have to be very cautious about increasing the burden on taxpayers. And at the same time, we have to be prudent and make sure that we don't get ourselves into a pickle where we don't have enough money to do the basic services, the needs that the community has. And so it's going to be a challenge putting the pieces together. Right now, we're all doing our homework, if you will, and trying to gather the facts. And in a few weeks, it may be a good time to at least share what we've learned so far.
Good stuff. We'll look forward to that. David, thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.